Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hour number two of the Hurricane Hotline. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., reflecting, rejoicing, what other words can I use about Saturday? Saturday's 41-17 win over the Florida Gators. Did I tell you, Don, that I had gator meat for dinner after the game?
I'm glad you did, Joe. I think that's something that should be on your menu until we play them again next year. So you get reminded every time you have it how special it is.
We have the very fine reporter, former writer from the Sun Sentinel. I think actually a former Gator, but now ACC Network and ESPN. I can't watch either one right now. We're in purgatory because DirecTV is shut out from ESPN and the ACC Network. And I did the ACC Network this afternoon, and I couldn't watch it. At any rate, sooner or later they'll solve it, I hope. Otherwise, I guess I'll dump DirecTV. I don't know. At any rate, here comes Andrea Adelson is with us. Double A, how are you this evening? A little bit cooler than Saturday afternoon when I saw you?
Joe, oh my gosh. I have to give a major shout out to Josh Darrow, who got me a towel on the sideline because I was so drenched in sweat. The water was like getting onto my glasses as I was standing there to do my live hit for the ACC Network. And it was so hot, my little iPad where I was doing my hit from overheated and shut off. It was like, iPad must cool down. I'm like, me too, iPad, but I gotta work. So I'm a lot cooler now in my office here in the air conditioning.
Yeah, that was sweltering.
It was.
I don't know that I've sweat so much during a game since the old Orange Bowl days. At any rate, I'll start, and Don is with us. Your overall impression of what you saw from the University of Miami.
So, Joe, I can only imagine the folks who've called in and the absolute sheer joy they must have, not just in the victory, because it was a dominant performance from start to finish. But the fact that Hurricanes took over the swamp and you could hear "Let's Go Canes" throughout that stadium starting in the third quarter on. I think that to me is something that I did not anticipate happening before the game, that Florida fans would basically do surrender Cobra and allow Miami fans to basically, be louder than them in their own home stadium. I guess Florida fans really don't have much to cheer for based on that performance. But I think, you know, the post-game scene and watching Mario celebrating the way that he was, bringing players over to the fans as a thank you to the fans for bringing the noise, for showing up in large numbers, despite having a limited quantity of tickets from the University of Florida, is something that I won't forget. The performance on field was special, but I think the celebration afterward is something that will stay with me because it has been so long since Miami won in that stadium, obviously, but I think, delivered the type of performance that we've all been waiting on in such emphatic fashion, that they earned every bit of that celebration.
So, Andrea, what do you think is going on in Gainesville? What are the conversations, the carnage that Miami left up there? How does that leave the program?
Yeah, it's a great question, you know, because I sat with Billy Napier mid-August in his office, and he told me with a straight face that this was the best team he's had since he's been at Florida, and that he's done enough overhauling the roster and the coaching staff that they were going to have better performance. I thought Florida would be competitive in the game. They were completely not competitive. And I think that's what set alarm bells ringing to the fan base. I don't know if the fans came in there expecting a dominant win. I think they came in there expecting a competitive game and that Florida could maybe pull out if it went down to the wire. Florida wasn't even in the game from the beginning. And so the folks that I've talked to at Florida acknowledge that performance is unacceptable. They're not ready, the administration anyway, to fire him like right now, but certainly they have to improve on what they showed Saturday, because, you know, as Joe alluded to, I did go to the University of Florida when Steve Spurrier was the head coach, and nobody is used to watching Florida get run out of their own home stadium, particularly to a rival, the way that Miami did it. And the crowd was out of it from the very beginning. That was not the loudest I've ever heard Florida. Far from it. I turned to a friend of mine I was sitting next to, and I said, "Where's the crowd? This isn't even loud." This is from the beginning of the game, so I understand what Cam Ward was saying afterward. But, you know, Florida has kind of put all of their eggs in this Billy Napier basket, waiting and hoping for him to kind of turn things around, believing that maybe Graham Wirtz was going to be okay, that the offensive line and defensive lines had made enough progress. And we saw none of that on Saturday. And so I think that there's a lot more pressure on Billy Napier than there was before the game. That, to me, was the absolute worst case scenario for Billy Napier coming out of that game.
I was expecting that it was going to be a close game, probably decided in the fourth quarter. And then somewhere in this, I don't know, late first quarter, second quarter, in a commercial, I told Don, I said, "Gee, if we don't make any mistakes, we're going to beat this team. They can't beat us or beat Miami." Were you more surprised by the play of Cam Ward or the dominance in the trenches by Miami?
Oh, boy, Joe, that's a great question. I was expecting that out of Cam Ward. We saw it in the spring. I mean, what we saw Saturday is exactly what we saw in the spring game, maybe even better, because they were playing against another opponent on the road in what should have been a hostile environment. It turned out not to be a hostile environment. I think, to me, it was the defensive front. Without Reuben Bain, you know, who goes down early in that game, I thought, Miami would be impressive on the offensive line. It was the defensive line that Mario has worked hard to rebuild and get some depth there to the point where they could be just as dominant on that side of the ball as what he thought they could be on the offensive line. So I expected the offensive line to be good. I expected Cam to be good. So to me, the most surprising part was, without Reuben Bain, how dominant Miami was on that defensive front. Tyler Barron was unblockable in that game, and I thought they were able to get a really nice rotation going with the players that they had up front. The fact that they were able to get after Graham Mertz and completely shut down Johnson, except for that one play that went around the edge, to me is indicative of where Miami can be as the season moves forward. So I would say that was probably the most surprising part for me.
If you're Mario Cristobal, but you always wanted to be a head coach, Andrea, so you're giving you the head coaching title right now, how do you prepare this football team to go from playing the University of Florida to playing FAMU?
Yeah, you know, it's going to take a good coaching job to make sure these guys are prepared and focused and not reading the press clippings and not thinking about such a big win, right? because you want to avoid that letdown factor. I think when you have leaders like Cam Ward, it gets a little bit easier because you know that you've got guys who are completely locked in and focused and came to Miami with one goal in mind, and that's to play for a national championship. You know, Mish Powell reiterated that, by the way, in his post-game comments. You know, he said, this is one game. We plan on playing 16 more. And I asked him a follow-up to that. I'm like, does this mean national championship? He's like, yeah, isn't that the number we have to get to? He knows what it takes. He was just on a team that played for a national championship. So when you've got guys who are already saying, this is great for 1 week, but we know there's a lot of season left to play, that's what you want to hear out of your players. That's the mindset that you want them to have. But you guys know as well as I do that this team has started strong and then not played well in a game where we were expecting them to play well. And the emotions get to you, and then you drop a game you're not supposed to, and then things kind of spiral. I don't think that's going to happen with Florida A&M. You know, Miami's third team could go out there and win the game. It's just, you know, the matchup of an FCS versus where Miami is as a program. And that's not a knock on Florida A&M. They've done a really nice job with their program. It's just that Miami, to me right now, again, I know it's a week and I'm not trying to get overhyped here, but it just looked and felt different than what we've seen even last year off a 4-0 start, even in 17 when it was 10-0. It felt different because of the, I think, mindset and mentality with which Miami played this game. They have to recreate that over the course of an entire season. And I think with the players that they have, they will have the ability to do that. And now with Mario having gone through this and understanding maybe some of the hiccups of the first couple of seasons, what needs to be done from that mentality standpoint will, I think, put Miami in a better position moving forward.
Well, I think what's going to put him in that position, compared to the last time they made a great run, is going to be the quarterback position, Cam Ward, because he is not going to be nonchalant in anything that mm-hmm. he does. He is all business, and we've said this before, everybody knows this. It's like the Tom Brady effect or Dan Marino. When your quarterback is the guy, the alpha guy, the guy that's working the hardest, then Tim Tebow was that way in Florida, then everybody else seems to follow. And I know there's going to be a game somewhere along the line where they're flat, where they get challenged. Maybe they get upset somewhere along the line. But there's going to be a game that they're supposed to win that probably they look up at the scoreboard in the fourth quarter and they're going to need Cam Ward to take them for an edge of your seat rescue.
Yeah, and you know, not to bring up a rival, but Jordan Travis was the same for Florida State, and look at what's happened to them without Jordan Travis in their last three games. So I agree with you, the importance of having that quarterback who is bringing everybody along with them and who wants that responsibility, who has embraced it, right? The fact that he calls the team over and talks to them before they load the buses to get to the stadium on Saturday. That's exactly what you want from your quarterback. And so, you know, Mario has been talking about this since Cam's arrival, and he even mentioned this in his post-game press conference. You know, you guys are probably wondering, we've talked a lot about Cam Ward and, you know, was he going to be what we've said? Yeah, I mean, obviously he was. Now, that's not to say he's perfect. We saw, you know, a pick that he threw that I'm sure he wants to have back, but it's the way that he leads this team that makes you believe, yeah, I can totally see exactly what everybody has been talking about in regards to that leadership. It's that intangible, right, that makes championship teams. And when you have it from the quarterback position, then it becomes a little bit easier for everybody to fall in line and to do their jobs to the best of their ability. And so I completely agree with you. I think I was on right after you on ACCPM, and I can't remember. It was Ken Dorsey must be the last quarterback that Miami had who was the alpha. And even Ken shared that, you know, with Ed Reed and some of the other guys on that team, but he was a quarterback that everybody believed in. And there have been some nice quarterbacks that Miami has had, but nobody that has brought that intangible to the locker room, I think, that we've seen. Again, it's early, but it's not just in the game. It's everything that we've heard since his arrival in January.
So I think one group that has gone, and I get it, believe me, but this Miami defense, you talk about the day that they have. I think that, you know, that's whenever quarterback play is outstanding, which it was on Saturday, and the offense is always usually seem to get the lead in the story. But this defense and what Coach Guidry did, and Andrea, you mentioned it early, you know, no Bane. But you look at what Miami's defense did to a Florida offense, and Graham Mertz was one of the most in the entire country efficient guys and had a 73% completion. Miami held him to 55%. He was, what, 11 of 20? And they did nothing. They threw the ball for 122 yards on the day. That was between both he and the backup. So when you look at the fact that the Miami defense held Florida to 261 yards for the day, I mean, that's almost unheard of. I would have never thought that that would have happened. And then you go down the list and you look at what they were one of. They held them to one of nine on third down conversions. And, you know, the sack total was Miami had three sacks. And they really just swarmed Florida. And Coach Guidry and that defensive staff, they had as equally a good a plan as Coach Dawson did.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I have to give Mario credit for making these moves last year and bringing in Shannon Dawson and Lance Guidry. I mean, I don't really think that they are more perfect fits for what Miami wants to do and how Mario has kind of envisioned what he wants the program to look like, particularly with Lance Guidry and the job that he has done, the exotic schemes. The development of the linebackers, by the way, has been so crucial over the last couple of seasons for this program and the depth now they have on the defensive line. And I think there was a big question mark about the secondary coming into it, right? How are they going to hold up? What was the depth going to look like there? The fact that they didn't allow any explosives at all in the passing game, that they limited their best receiver, Trey Wilson, to basically dinks and dunks, is a huge credit to the job that they were able to do as an entire team, right? And that's the thing also, when you watch Miami play in this game, is they played like a team, right? There wasn't any individuals out there. And I think when you're watching Florida State struggle, or you're watching Florida struggle, or some of these other teams that are struggling right now, or you're scratching your head and you're saying, wait a minute, like what's happening here? Florida State is not playing like a team. Florida's not playing like a team, but Miami in that first game played like a cohesive unit on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball. And so when you have that complementary football, it just makes things easier for your offense, and it certainly makes things easier for your defense. And when the offense is able to run the ball efficiently, it's not just that they're going three plays and they're scoring, right? You've got balance on the offense going. Your defense isn't sitting out there on the field for 40 minutes, right? So when you've got the complementary football going, and oh, by the way, special teams was great too, that's when you know you've got the makings of a really good team, T-E-A-M team, and that's what we saw in week one.
I'm glad you brought up the development, because I do think there are players on this roster that have developed with this staff, like a Jaden Harris, a Wesley Bissaint, Daryl Porter, Markeith Williams made a couple of plays. There are a bunch of guys that were on this roster, young players that I think are developing. Andrea, before we let you go, what is going on in the ACC? Okay, we know what happened with Miami and Florida. Florida State 0-2. Clemson got drilled by Georgia. North Carolina State struggled with West Carolina. They get Tennessee. North Carolina got past Minnesota. Where is the league today going into week two and a half or three, whatever it is?
This is Miami's league to own. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry, but if you look at the results, if you look at what Miami did in week one, and you look at the way the schedule is going to unfold for Miami, this should be theirs for the taking. You know, Florida State doesn't know who they are right now, and I don't know what they're going to do to fix it, number one. They have no quarterback that they can build around, and their offensive and defensive lines are not what they expected them to be. Clemson, okay, they get drilled by Georgia. Is anyone surprised? No. Clemson is, I think, who we thought, right? Offense still struggling, defense pretty good, but isn't going to be able to hold up for 40 minutes in a game when the offense can't do anything. We'll see about NC State this weekend. I'll give them a pass. We'll see what they do against Tennessee. Virginia Tech losing to Vanderbilt? What? The most experienced team coming back, losing on the road to Vanderbilt? Suddenly that game on a Friday night in Miami. You think about it. Okay, you got to like Miami's chances just a little bit more. So as I'm going down the list, we're mentioning some flaws. Now, Georgia Tech looks pretty good. Miami fans probably don't want to hear that, but they do. All right, Louisville, we'll see what happens with them. They're usually a very well-coached team, schemed up very well by Jeff Rom. So there's still some other teams out there, I think, in the ACC that will have the capability of being a top-tier team. It's just that the teams that we expected to be in that conversation with Miami look a little bit different after 1 week. But again, it's just a week. We'll see how everybody responds here moving forward.
All right, very good. Thank you for taking the time to join us here tonight here in South Florida. We can hear you here. We just can't see you on ESPN. Unless you don't have DirecTV there, I guess. You got like Hulu or something. You're in business.
I have DirecTV too, Josie, so I feel your pain.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us. Great to see you this past weekend. Hope to see you in the near future.
I think you will. Something tells me you'll see me soon.
Okay. Very good. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Andrea Adelson joining us on the show. Well, there you have it, Don. Miami right now. After 1 week, the team to beat in the ACC. Who would have thought?
I would have thought. After that win, Joe, here's what I think. I think anything's possible. And before you tell me it's only one game and forget before you tell me it's what I saw there leads me to believe if Miami can stay away from the injury bug, a lot of good things can happen. I'm not telling you that I'm making reservations for the national championship quite yet, but I'm telling you that I saw a buy-in from an entire football team. I saw a quarterback that we haven't seen the likes of in quite a long time. And I saw a defense without their best player be absolutely dominant. And so, yeah, it's week one. And I'd rather be talking like we're talking than how they're talking in Gainesville.
We have to take a break, but I'll leave you with this before we go into the break. And Hurricane fans, they can go argue this if they want. The pass, the touchdown pass from Cam Ward to Jacoby George. I don't know that we have seen a pass like that for a touchdown from a Miami quarterback since fill in the blank, and I will fill in the blank, Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, you're probably right, Joe. I mean,
you
really
consider mobility and arm strength. Vinny had the mobility and arm strength, and he did that against Oklahoma or Florida State, where he would be able to slide to his left or slide to his right and rifle one into the end zone to the awaiting arms, hands of Michael Irvin. But Miami's had good quarterbacks since then. But when you take in mobility and arm strength and the ball arriving the way it did, I say Vinny.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And you're talking about a whole different era, you know? I mean, and the thing about Cam is his ability to buy time. And here's the beautiful part, and I'm sure people have noticed it, but he never stops looking downfield. Never. Always has his eyes downfield looking for the open guy.
Yep. All right, FAMU is coming up on Saturday. 2 o'clock will be on the air, 6 p.m. kickoff. And Don and I will talk more about the Canes and college football. We'll hear from Lance Guidry and Shannon Dawson from their press conferences. All that's coming up here momentarily. Let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac, because I know this. Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol, they are smiling ear to ear after the Hurricanes' victory over the Florida Gators. We're past Labor Day now, so we're going to be ahead before you know it toward the holiday season. But we're back from vacation and all of those things. If you are in the market for a new automobile, may I suggest Williamson Cadillac, who has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. So if you have never ventured into Williamson Cadillac, absolutely, you've got to try it out. If you are a return customer, then you know what I'm talking about. You know that you are treated like family from Ed Williamson. Enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. New vehicles are arriving daily, which means Williamson is sure to have the new Cadillac you're looking for. I'm driving the XT4. It was as smooth as can be going up and back from Gainesville. Come in today, experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, conveniently located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, back on the Hurricane Hotline, celebrating a 41-17 victory on Saturday over the Gators. It's funny, Don. Not a lot of people anymore remember, maybe they do, I don't know, how important Miami and Florida was and is to many people. Like, I'm sure your dad is smiling ear to ear. He's a Miami through and through, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so this thing was going on forever. This was like breathing, you know, you back in the day, and not even that far ago. I mean, this was the game of games. And I go back to what Howard Schnellenberger created, and really he and Bobby Bowden teamed up in that the state championship, the big three at the time was Miami, Florida, Florida State. And that was a big deal. And normally, and you're the historian more than I am, the winner of the state of Florida was usually on their way to a national championship.
Well, at the very least, you got the canoe.
Yeah, that's right.
But now they don't play for the canoe anymore.
Nobody even remembers that one.
Yeah, they used to play for the canoe. The canoe resides in Miami because Miami won the last matchup when they played on an annual basis. So
correct.
Since they don't play on an annual basis, they don't play for the canoe anymore. The Gators want the canoe back, but it doesn't work that way. You have to play Miami all the time.
Yeah.
Which they don't want to do.
We don't want a selective rivalry.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
We don't want that. Yeah. No, we don't need the canoe now. We're all right. We got the canoe. It's our canoe.
Well, if they had the canoe, let me tell you something. It sunk.
Yeah, it really did. Miami put a hole in it.
Yeah, it took on Warner in a hurry. One of the reasons it took on Warner in a hurry was because of the Hurricanes' defense, their physicality, the way they swarmed to the ball, the way they badgered Graham Mertz and shut down the run. And Hurricanes' defensive coordinator Lance Guidry spoke about that yesterday at his press conference.
I thought they were really focused. They knew it, the types of things they had to defend. We thought going in, he was really worried about a lot of crossing routes, the deep overs. That was his favorite throw, so we spent a lot of time for about 3 weeks working on that. The free safety coming out of the post and really jumping across from the corner climbing, and it probably happened twice in the game. Each pick, one of them right by the goal line, and the other time we got sacked. So thought they played well. OJ competed really hard, you know. I was laughing. OJ, when that first motion that went across the field, they completed a bootleg, and he knew what he had to do. He said his legs wouldn't move. So we kind of laughed, but we kind of settled him down. But I thought Porter played well. Everybody on the back end, they challenged us early. Brown broke up the ball deep, and then Richard broke one up deep. And I think it kind of broke their confidence of going downfield a lot and started trying to run the ball and do other things, kind of played into our hands.
Coach, you talked a lot throughout fall camp about the depth of the defensive line. Once Ruben goes down after that first drive, just what did they show you throughout the game about just what you guys had even when he's not hurt?
Yeah, we just kept rolling different guys in there. We played different guys at tackle position. Of course, we was able to play five defensive ends, which was good. And we rolled them as a door inside as well. So we stayed fresh. I thought it helped us in the second half, you know. So I do think that's the strength of our defense. And if we can continue to play a lot of people, I think we'll be able to play a little bit more as we go and get more guys' experience. So that'd be good because it really helps on the back end with us being a little slight with numbers.
And with Meech Powell's first game in your defense, I had him play really well. He braided out really well. Just what did you expect from him coming into the game, and how nice he lived up to those expectations?
Yeah, he's got a demeanor a lot like Cam had. You know, he kind of calms the storm back there. He's vocal. He knows a lot of football. Of course, it's the first year in this scheme, but so it was Cam's, you know. And just a guy back there who's played a lot of football, played in a lot of big games. So this one wasn't as big as some of the games he's been in, of course. So, yeah, he's helping lead that secondary, and just a solid performance by him. And I wish he could have got an end zone with an interception, but really solid play. Right?
And then Coach, Jaden, you mentioned, you know, he had to get a pick early. You know, he got one in kind of a weird way, but he got one. What do you think in his first game, first big game as a starter?
Yeah, he played really, really fast. He played the way we thought he could with his skill sets, but he's a confidence guy, and he had a lot of confidence going into the game. He got a partial sack, I guess I call it, but he missed the interception. He could end up with two, but just played really fast back there. You know, even on that long run, it wasn't really his fault. It was a busted blitz by a linebacker, and he couldn't make him right. He was supposed to cover the tight end, so everybody thinks it was his fault, but it really wasn't. It was a structure of a blitz pattern that didn't get done. So played great out of high school.
All right, Coach, what was your reaction to that 71-yard run, knowing that it was a big play earlier, but then as the game went on, you didn't allow another touchdown toward the latter part of it. So was there something that you said, like, get over it, and then later on, toward the end, boom, 7 yards?
Yeah, they didn't really earn it. We gave it to them because we didn't run a defense right. We were supposed to be blitzing off the edge of that tight end, and we didn't get it done. So we didn't have the edge to the defense. So the kids really wasn't that shook up because they felt like they didn't earn it. We gave it to them. So kind of settled them down at halftime. At halftime, always coming out, our goal is to get a third quarter shutout. We feel like if we get a third quarter shutout, if we're out of the game, we can get back in. Or if we're ahead of the game, we feel like we'll increase the lead, and that's exactly what happened. So we came out of the locker room, that third quarter shutout, and kind of set the tone for the rest of the way.
That is Lance Guidry from his press conference. The other thing that they did so well, Don, they nearly shut out Florida on third downs. Why do you think their third down defense was so good?
Well, I'll tell you, give me 1 second here. Let me flip this chart over, okay? Starts with Tyler Barron, who had 48 games in the Southeastern Conference. He had Elijah Austin, who came from Marshall, who's a sleeper, but one heck of a pass rusher, number 11. You had Akeem Mezidore, who, you know, would be in the NFL today if he would have been healthy last year. He'd have been a draft pick. They go out and they get Simeon Barrow. You have Anthony Campbell playing at a different level. You have Ahmad Boughton. I mean, the list just goes on and on. The depth is there, the athleticism that's there, and Kiko Maui-Noah, number one, the middle linebacker, he's involved in a lot of pass rushes as well, Joe. So, I mean, they incorporate. The thing that Coach Guidry does so well is it's a team pressure is what he puts. I mean, it's not an individual guy that he tries to feature. It's team pressure. And the thing that I think has helped Miami offense so much that people probably don't realize is they go ones versus ones today. You know, and I mean, it's ones versus ones, meaning the Miami first team defense is going against the Miami first team offense. And this is not necessarily for they're not playing each other's scout team. They're running each other's offense and they're running each other's defense. And the payoff is on Saturday. When you've gone against great football players all week, you've got a great chance to have a good game on Saturday.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. One more segment to go on the Hurricane Hotline. Miami and FAMU on Saturday, 6 p.m. kickoff, 2 p.m. pregame show right here on QAM.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, we are back at it on Saturday, beginning at 2 o'clock, 6 p.m. Kickoff from Hard Rock, Miami, and FAMU. Hurricanes offense was brilliant on Saturday against the Florida Gators. Over 500 total yards. Tight ends got involved. Arroyo looked terrific in the contest for the University of Miami. Some compared him to Jimmy Graham. That might be right. Elijah Lofton looked great as well. And Shannon Dawson, in his press conference, he began it by talking about the tight ends.
I thought they were very productive. You know, the ball found almost every one of them multiple times, right? So it's what's been going on in practice every day. So you hope that when you go play the game, the ball gets distributed like it has been in practice. And so to me, that's the key is from, like, people, I guess balance is a word that people use. Balance to me is like everybody touching the ball, you know? And so, but, you know, I think that's a testament to Cam because of the way he views the game. The defense dictates a lot of times where the ball goes, right? And so, you know, he distributes the ball well.
But for defense, with this group, you know what you have, yes, but you don't really know until somebody live on the other side
yeah.
against you. What was the one or two things maybe that you learned that you didn't know about that group?
Well, I mean, I think I knew it, but you hope that it shines through in real time is that they're resilient. You know, they don't let bad things affect them. There's been multiple times, and look, we put them through some stuff in practice to where we knew the challenge going into that game, and they were ready. We were prepared for every facet of the challenge. And you see in practice that, you know, certain things happen, and we just go move on to the next play. You know, when there's bad things that happen, we move on to the next play. And so you hope that, because that is really the key to success, is like just moving on to the next play. And if you let a bad play affect you, then that's when the game starts, you know, rolling on you a little bit, you know. Which one of the negatives in the game was the pick, right? But one of the extreme positives in the game after was the fact that the pick did not bother us. We just went over there and we watched it and everybody talked, made corrections, and our defense went out there, and what a job to hold them to a field goal, right? That was key in the beginning of that game. So very complimentary football by those guys, but we also did not let that affect us. We just went out and kept playing ball, which is what you have to do.
Shannon, obviously, you've worked with Cam for 8-9 months now, but to see him and call plays for him in the game, what was that like for you? What was that? The whole experience of his first game, like for you,
it was calming. He's comfortable out there. You can tell, you know. And so, you know, he does a really good job of protecting plays when the play isn't there, you know, and extending the play. And that's the one thing because at practice, whistles get blown. You don't really get to see the extensions of plays a lot of practice, you know. And so, in the game, it's different because you got to get them down, you know. And so. He did do a good job of extending plays in certain times. And there was two or three times where you know, he extended plays right there on the part of the field where it might have took us out of field goal range. But he threw it away twice, and one he threw it to Jacoby in the back of the end zone. And so, you know, that ability to just to create some space and let the play develop is crucial in my opinion.
How long did it take you to get comfortable with that style and that he will drop back 35 yards?
No, easy. You know, that makes my job easier because I don't have to worry about calling a perfect play or anything. Just, you know, if it isn't there, then he'll keep it alive.
But did you never want to do what he was capable of when you got here? But I guess as the play caller, did you need any time to get your
No.
this kid just does things a little bit differently than
mine. Yeah, he's not play ball, man. Yeah.
All right, that's offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson called an excellent game on Saturday against the Gators. Got excellent results. The execution, Don, I thought that was the name of the game. I was expecting a few more false starts and penalties and that sort of thing, but they never really got behind the eight ball. They stayed ahead of the chains the whole time.
Joe, you have to realize, you know, we talked in the beginning of the game, and I had mentioned that I thought that it was going to be a very special day for Zach Carpenter. And, you know, that he's the director for that offensive line and really a big part of the offense. And he just had an outstanding game. He was actually honored in the meeting on Monday morning by Coach Cristobal as one of the players of the game against Florida. And he showed outstanding pass protection. And it all started with there because he's the guy that's got to make the call on the – point out the linebacker, then make the call on the offensive line. They can then get the signal, you know, from the guard or the quarterback on when the snap count is. And he was flawless. And he deserved a lot of credit for that. You know, we had said in the beginning of the game that I thought that he was going to have an outstanding game, not only physically but mentally, and he did that. And, you know, he jumped in and got recognized for it, which I was glad to see.
Okay, we're going to turn the page. We got about 2 minutes to go. FAMU comes in, always a fun game. They've won 13 in a row, so they know how to win. Not quite the same championship team they had a year ago. Struggled in the first two games to stop the run with their defense. So that could be a problematic for them. But nonetheless, Miami's got to go in there and treat them like they are a top shelf opponent.
Well, you have to, or you're going to get beat. And if you're a champion, which Miami took the first step on Saturday towards being a championship team, you have to handle games like this. You know, it's not the name of the opponent. It's the game that you're playing. And Miami's got to be aware. And listen, it's very simple. You know, Daniel Richardson was a heck of a football player. You know, he was at FAMU. I think he was at Central Michigan. He's got a lot of experience. They're quarterback. He's Dade County's all-time leading passer, almost 10,000 yards and over 100, I think it's 115 or 116 touchdowns. So, you know, there's talent over there. There's a lot of transfer talent that was at D1 schools. But at the end of the day, it's not about FAMU if you're gonna roll this thing like Coach Cristobal wants to. It's about Miami, and it's about Miami going out there and playing the game and not worrying who the opponent is. You any game Miami plays where you've got two penalties, your defense holds somebody 1-9 on third down, you have twice as many yards as the opponent did, like you did Saturday against Florida, then you've got a chance for great things to happen. And that's what it's going to be every week. I mean, This was no happenstance. This has been planned for and was relentless pursuit by this type of football game by your head coach, and he's not going to let the opponent determine the outcome. He wants to make sure that Miami determines the outcome.
Well, I very much enjoyed Saturday afternoon, and hopefully we've got about 11 more of these coming up. So should be good on Saturday night at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yep, I'm excited about it. And I really would encourage our University of Miami fans and really the FAMU fans who support the University of Miami as well, because there's been a lot of those people over the years, and we're grateful for that they can root for both teams. But nothing has been deserved more in recent history than for everybody to come out and support this football team. And you want Cam Ward to be your quarterback, and you want Cam Ward to be in the running for a Heisman, then come out and show him. You know, buy your ticket and support this football team and come out there and support them, because they just gave you one of the best victories that you're gonna have in a long, long, long time.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. See you then.
All right. That's Don Bailey Jr. Trevor Harris has been our producer. Thanks to Andrea Adelson for joining us from ESPN and head coach Mario Cristobal. We'll talk to you on Saturday from Hard Rock Stadium beginning at 2 p.m. for the Canes and FAMU Rattlers. Thanks for joining us. Have a very pleasant evening.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.